All right. Well, so just to break into this, so this is the spoiler review, or really, this is, we're telling you spoilers.
This is the last time that we can warn you in the clearest way possible. Yeah, if you continue listening to this episode, you'll be spoiled on the things that happen in the first four games of this campaign.
If this happened to play the next episode, if it happened to play the next episode on your playlist here, this is your last chance.
Your last chance.
This is it.
I'm no lawyer, but I feel like we have cleared ourselves completely.
All right. So what has been the most... Now, we've played four games.
Four whole games.
Which is a third. If we're doing math, third of the
game.
I'll
take your word for it.
That's right. What has been... if you have more than one, that's fine. What has been your favorite thing that the game that we didn't mention, obviously, in the first... non-spoiler review of this. What has been your favorite thing that the game has introduced that has really kind of blown your mind?
Ticket punch. I love the ticket punch.
All right. That's going to be everybody's favorite. So let's just go ahead and talk about the ticket punch.
So after you play the first game, they have you open this thing called the conductor's toolbox. Ooh. And basically there's just a little hole puncher in it. And that doesn't sound very exciting, no.
but it's the most exciting.
No. You guys, it's everything.
It's so
Trust
fun.
Me, it's exciting.
So you get to pull out this little hole puncher, and every time you play a game, you get to punch the tickets that you have completed with your routes. And it's just the most fun ever. I feel like I'm on the Polar Express, and I feel like I am Tom Hanks, and someone needs to bring me hot chocolate because I have the little hole punch. And it's obnoxiously fun. Like, it's just so fun.
It's so good.
And it's such a cool little just detail to throw in there. Like, it's probably a $2 like hole puncher from Amazon, but they're like, they're gonna love this.
No, it's a freaking $1 million idea.
Like, the gamers are gonna love this. And we do. It's amazing. Like,
oh,
it's just
God.
It's just another little immersion tidbit to just make you feel that much more like you're actually like out west.
Dude,
building railroads.
Freaking putting holes in your tickets, man. Like, it's so good. Put a hole in my ticket.
And that's
it.
Part of the benefit of choosing to do a legacy game is, like Ian was mentioning in the previous episode, there are usually in most legacy games some level of destruction of the game itself, which is part of the
tickets.
Fun of it. So yeah, obviously you can't keep using these tickets after this legacy game is completed.
It is bizarre to like see the
difference. Tickets in the regular game. Just
I just think it's really bizarre that. We like cringe at the idea of ripping a card in half, but hole punching a ticket.
Yeah,
just glorious fun.
Completely, 100% do it. Who cares? I'm down.
I couldn't decide if I had more fun punching holes in my tickets or watching you like tremble to make sure it was in a perfect
spot. I did mention not putting like ripping the wrong card or something like that. I every time I put a hole in a card, I was like, okay, I'm green. I'm the color green. I'm punching a hole in green.
You could sense the fear radiating off of him that he was punching the wrong color.
You could hear it as everything was rattling around him.
I was freaking out. I hate it. Stresses me out every time I put a sticker or something on there. I'm like, this is right, right? This is right. I verify with everybody.
All right. So let's now ask the question again. Now that we've gotten the obvious answer out of the way.
100%.
Besides the hole punch,
100%.
What is your favorite thing that's been added?
I like that it's been ramping up the hostility. So what I mean by that is that the first game we played was basic Ticket to Ride. You're laying your tracks, this and that. And then by the time we got to the third game, we could claim different cities and have to pay each other for them. Or we could claim different routes for our color, which would give us benefits. And by the time we got, starting out our fifth game, it introduced the idea of robbers and bandits and hidden treasure that we could discover, which is really, really cool. But it also ramps up the hostility of laying those rails. So I can't just lay it. I've got to be worried about robbers. I've got to be worried about who do I have to pay for this. I've got to be worried about Mama O'Neill and is she coming for me? So I thought that was cool. And I thought that was a really neat aspect of it.
I also like the difference when the robber was introduced as we were wrapping up game four of you groaning and me just having this like grin on my face.
You did. Yeah. You mentioned. So the first game is very like traditional player interaction, is that people really just take your routes. That's it. But it slowly has become a hostile game where you're going into other people's towns and you're going to pay them for having that town. And I do think a lot of stuff that either has happened or will happen based on projections is aspects from other Ticket to Rides that they're kind of all throwing in this massive game. And I think that's really cool. I think it's a very interesting kind of aspect of that is because there is the Wild West. I haven't played that one, but I know it has some things similar to some of the things that have kind of dipped our toes into. With that, though, I think one of my favorite things is the there's employees that your company can hire. And every game's different. The loser who lost last game gets to become the president of this of their company, and then also get an employee. And these employees give you different abilities. An example of one I've had twice is that I can play two cards of any type and use them as play two cards as one locomotive. I've used it multiple times. It's huge. There was one, I think, Jared, you had the one that give you two
train. The conductor.
Yeah.
It changes the whole game for me.
Yeah.
Because it sounds so simple. All he does is give you two extra train cards to start the game.
Yeah, at the beginning of the game.
It has changed my whole outlook on this game.
Yeah. I
went from being clapped to...
You just needed that extra boost.
I needed a little boost. And I was like, oh, now I have as many cards as Julia does.
Yeah. No, it's been really interesting. And then obviously the last player getting it, and then you go in the reverse order. I think that's really cool.
It is a nice subtle way of a catch-up mechanic.
Yes.
Instead of it being this in your face, screw the first player.
Yeah.
Because the first player, every other player gets an employee.
Yeah.
The last player just gets two to give them a bonus to kind of get catchback.
And that president, you get to go, you get two last turns, basically. You get your normal last turn, and then after everybody's gone, you get one more. That made me win that. I won the game because of that. It got me two plays. I'd ran out of train or close to ran out of trains, but I completed all my tickets the one game I did win.
Well, and Anna got the vice president this last time, which gave her an extra city where she got to claim one of the small cities, which really helped her, I think, get some extra money along the way too.
Yeah, you get to add those, claim a city of, it's expanding your frontier, I guess, or whatever it's called. Basically, you own that town. And so when somebody builds into that town, they have to pay you a dollar. So she got to do that twice, which was awesome because everybody else only did it once, but she got to do it twice. So yeah, no, great little mechanic to keep. The catch-up mechanic is great. It keeps that last player in the game, like for sure. So, but anyway, Julia, what was your favorite?
I think I like that, just bouncing off of what you guys have already said, like I really like that, like you start off with a typical game of Ticket to Ride, which obviously does require some strategy, some forethought. You can be good at playing Ticket to Ride, but I think part of what makes it such a good gateway game is because a lot of it relies on how well you play the cards you're dealt and a little bit more chance-based, just depending on if you're able to get the cards you need or not. But this is all of that. But then as you keep building on it, like they were saying, like there's just different things. You can choose which abilities you want to have depending on where you fell in the last game. You have to pick which city you want to claim. Like there's a lot more of that strategy and that choice that can kind of put you on uneven playing field for better or worse with the other players. And so that just feels fun to combine kind of the familiar with some of that more cutthroat, you know, competition that I'm not super great at, but I'm excited to lean into and see how it helps unravel the story.
It has definitely quickly become very cutthroat.
Yeah. Well, before the only way that you could really, I mean, it was cutthroat because you can cut people off and that sucks.
Always.
Well, and the board's really tight for game one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of why I lost so bad was that there wasn't room.
Yeah. And it definitely is like frustrating. You can choose to like cut people off, which sucks. But like now there's like just a lot more ways to make enemies, I think. And so that could be a pro or a con depending on who you are.
Yeah, I hate Anna. She bought Atlanta and I went in there five times in one game. I had to connect all
five. You paid $5 for Atlanta.
You bought up Atlanta and I'm like, oh my God, I have to go here five different times. I was like, oh, this is terrible. Yeah,
on the flip side, I love Ian.
I know. So. That's right. 100%.
I think one of the other aspects that I really enjoy is the postcards. And I know that through the first four games, not a lot has happened with them, but we have been dealt some of them to this point. And even some of the, I have one that has not applied at all
yet.
You
should tell us what it does.
No, I'm not going to do that because it's secret and I'm keeping it safe.
Yeah.
Ian's been trying to discover everybody's secrets on their postcards for the whole game.
It's true.
Tell me your secret.
No. But I'm already like planning some long-term strategy around this card because it gives you points at the end of the game depending on how you complete it.
Right.
And so it's one of those things where you have to give the table a hint at what is going on with your postcard. So you read the one side out loud.
Right.
And it has a story text that hints at what's on the other side, but you don't have to share at all. In fact, it is against the rules for you to share what's on the other side. Oh. Ian.
You should tell me anyway.
No. So that's something that I really enjoy.
Is it I'm just curious because I don't have one like this, but is there like multiple things you can do on it by completing it? Like it has different things on it?
There's different scoring amounts based on what happens throughout the game.
Okay, cool. I haven't seen that. Yeah, no, I did complete one, so I'll say that. I found the circus down in Savannah.
Good job. Savannah.
Yeah. Basically, I took the Savannah up to...
I was wondering why you were talking about going to the circus. Yeah. I was so confused. Yeah.
No, I found the circus in Savannah, and I took it to... where did I take it to? I took it to...
Wow, this really stuck with you.
It clearly was very memorable.
Hold on a second. Let me think. I took it to Atlanta. Because I went to Atlanta like 3-4 times.
Five, I heard.
I made 5 different rounds. But yes, anyway... Basically, when I connected 2 tickets that went to the same exact location, I would complete this goal in this circus card, which is a, what is it? What are they called?
Postcards.
And so I completed it, and it gives me a certain amount of money at the end of the game because I completed it. I can't remember what it is, but.
It was cool.
It's like $10 or $12. I don't know. It's a good amount.
It was really cool.
My postcard did none of these things. Yeah.
I've had another one, which I could have revealed. So I'll go ahead and name this one now, is that I have a favor with McConnell. I did a favor for her. How you normally...
I think it's O'Connell. You said O'Neill and you said McConnell.
Together, you're almost there.
O'Connell.
We can't remember her last name for the life of us.
So that one, basically, anytime I build into her town, she owes me a favor so I don't have to pay. And so I could have revealed that. I don't have it. I didn't need to because I didn't... there's only one on our current board. But yes, so I don't have to pay to going to her cities.
I have a feeling the first 2 games are the only victories that I will be tasting. This legacy.
It's not true.
No.
This is getting way over my head.
Not Julia, I have no doubt that when we play again next time, you're going to win the first time. We just found a way to wear you down over the course of 4 hours.
That's right. My energy
we
just
would set
depletes.
Up the next game and she'd be like, oh, we're playing again.
Yeah.
In the sweetest way possible.
Yes.
None of us picked up on it and kept going.
I heard it.
No, I heard it. I just didn't register that this was a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing at all.
It
was a surprised thing.
So the funny thing is that we could probably play games for like 12 hours and be totally fine.
Oh,
Julia.
Yeah.
Well, Ian was like, oh, are we going to play another one? Are we going to play a fifth one? And I was like, I don't think I have the mental energy to play a fifth one. Yeah.
She put her foot down.
In my head. Well, no, I didn't say anything, but in my head, I'm like, I really don't think I can do another one.
Me and Jared have played many moons. Played through many moons.
Stretched that muscle.
Ian, I think and this is no offense to Julia.
Can already tell you I'm not offended.
Okay, good. I think if it was just you, me, and Anna playing, we would have, all logistics still working out, we would have just played through the night and went through the whole campaign. without question.
That definitely might have happened, especially because we have a babysitter tonight, so we can do that.
What an opportunity.
I am interested, as we keep going through the game, how the balance of the scores does work. So speaking as the person who has now come in last twice, and second to last, I think, the other 2 times.
Uh-oh.
I know, it's sad. I feel like, I've got my own business, and I feel like I'm just, at this point, I don't know, like aiming for Kmart or something. Like...
Just trying to survive.
It's
goals,
bad.
People.
Yeah. Kmart goals.
And again, I love Ticket to Ride. I'm usually very good at it. I think the scaling has been difficult for me.
Yeah.
So the first 2 games, the first 3 games, I kept coming out like 1 turn short of what would have been my goal.
Right.
So I think the scaling of the lower train car count and the squashed board and this and that, I'm still kind of,
my learning curve is
still kind of getting there. But so as the person who has, who's probably kind of in last place right now, I'm curious as to how the scoring might balance throughout the game.
Yeah.
So now I've gotten the benefit of being the last player twice. And so I'm curious about that. But I will say also, as the person who's in last place right now, I'm still having a blast.
Yeah.
That's one thing I really love about Ticket to Ride is that I always feel like I'm building something and doing something cool, even if I don't get the highest score. Right. So even when Julia, I think, doubled our scores, some of our scores, that first game,
the first two games,
you know,
tripled even.
I was like, what kind of juju's going on over there? But it was still fun.
We're like all sitting on 10, 12 trains. Julia's done. You're like, how?
Like, how did she
I have
do
no
that?
Cards in hand and 12 trains and she
exact...
has all no trains and zero, like six cards in hand.
It's we've
like...
had the exact same number of turns. How does this math work out? But it was still fun and I still felt like I accomplished something because I'd still built my legacy, which was fun.
For sure. I think the legacy part is making it so that like you're not playing one game of Ticket to Ride. Like it's a little bit more like I want to win this one game. I'm playing one game. But now you're playing 12 different games of this. And honestly, yeah, you kind of get wrapped in. Now I have these postcards that I'm trying to complete. And like the first, after the first game, I had like I had a postcard and then I got a second one and they was literally like, okay, I'm going to try and get that. Like now that's my goal. So yeah, it is kind of, it steers you in a direction. You kind of, you think about what everybody else is doing a little bit, but I mostly think about, okay, well, how do I just have the best score? It doesn't really matter where I kind of fit in necessarily because I'm just trying to, you know, stay on par with how the scoring going. Cause I do think that's interesting as like you're saying predictions for what you think is coming. I'm just really curious of how out Wild West go. Like we're in the, what is the one we just opened? The Great Plains.
We just opened up like Texas. Yeah, so we're like Midwest kind of.
Great Plains. Yeah. So it's not even there. Yeah. So, but I'm even far west, like out to California, just every board you open adds some new rules and stuff. This one, like we said, the robber, which we have not played yet, but very interesting rules.
It's coming.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have a projection or prediction. I just think it's interesting. Yeah. I don't know what the future will bring as far as what's out far west than that, rules.
So just to clarify our names here. So Great Plains is what we opened first, and that's like your Minnesota, Midwest sort of area.
The Great Plains.
Yeah. Thanks. Naturally. And then the open range is the Oklahomas, the Texas, and that sort of thing, Louisiana and all that.
No, not really.
Louisiana's New Orleans.
Oklahoma, Arkansas.
Yeah, but New Orleans is on like the far eastern side.
That's true. It is on the far eastern side.
Sure, Jared. Anyway, continue.
Western side, actually. So, it's actually on the far western
holy
side.
Bananas.
Yeah, western. You're still wrong. Not even east side, west side. But yes. Anyway, projection.
No, it's on the east side.
No, sweetie.
New Orleans?
Is on the western edge of the map that we opened
up.
Yeah,
but it's
start.
On the east side of Louisiana.
That's fine. That's not what we're talking
of
about.
Of Louisiana.
But
okay.
Okay. It
you guys
matter.
Are telling me I'm wrong when I'm not.
You were wrong.
No, I wasn't.
What do you think?
So looking at the open range and the Great Plains as the two places that we've explored so far outside of the base.
Yeah.
One thing I'm really curious as far as thinking about projection, we haven't seen anything with open range yet because we just opened it.
Right.
Both Great Plains, the points were, there was more of the higher point or the dollar values than there were anywhere on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And so that is the part that I'm really intrigued to see. Can you kind of either catch up or can someone run away with it if they get the right tickets? That lineup and you have like a $100 game, I don't know how anybody else could keep up with that.
Yeah.
Just thinking about where we're at right now. I mean, we're averaging 40s, 50s, 60s.
Yeah.
On a decent round for games 3 and 4.
Sure.
But if someone gets a bunch of high dollar ones, does that, you know, but you also have the limiting factor of the amount of train tokens that you have.
Right.
So it kind of balances itself out. I think it'll be fine. I do think the dollar amounts are going to start getting a lot higher.
Oh, they will
expand.
Yeah, because like we said, so when you open a new, so every game from now on, we open a new pack, but we get to decide which one that is, and they're in different regions. And so basically when you open one, it connects back to the original Eastern United States that you've already played, that you started on. Because if you like, we haven't opened Florida yet, so you can't open something that doesn't have, like, we can't go to Florida, so that card won't be in. So, yes, because they have to be longer, unless they're doing like in between each other.
But they also do within their own range
yeah,
as well.
They will, but there's definitely longer ones. So yeah, no, they're going to continue to get bigger for sure.
I am intrigued to see if we decide to continue to ignore Florida, how that has ramifications for the long term. Because like you said, right now we're clicking all these tickets that just control the East Coast. And as you click them so many times, they go away. They're out of the game forever. So you can't just keep doing the same East Coast tickets over and over again. So you're going to have the Midwest tickets, but then eventually are you going to want something that's more reasonable like Florida, or are we going to be content with just going across the country that it won't matter?
Never. Forget about Florida.
I'm just wondering, like, can you just ignore Florida and it's not a big deal?
Yeah. Hashtag ignore Florida.
Oh.
I definitely.
Sorry to all our Florida friends.
I'm definitely interested. If I were to choose like my next pick, I might be tempted heavily to open Florida just because I think it'll open up a lot of that whole, because most, so in the regular ride, Florida connects a lot with the East Coast all the way up and down. So, and that's been my game most of this so far. So if I were to open one, I might think about doing that just so it opens up still a lot of stuff on the East Coast again.
Well,
so,
you just got to win a game, man.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, no, you're right. Yeah, what if we just never open Florida? Yeah.
Until that last game.
But that's the thing about these legacy games. Every time you play, like every personal, everybody's game's different.
That's right.
You know, so like somebody else opened Florida their first time and we might not open it at all until the end. And that would be very different. It'd be totally, yeah. Like, cause you're basically forcing a lot of across country stuff instead of having a lot more kind of that close Florida to East Coast connections. So yeah, might make it interesting. It could, the way if we do it that way and not open Florida, it could cause those kind of big swingy games, I think what you're mentioning.
Because, I think it's possible.
Yeah, because there's just not any little stuff to kind of bridge the gap.
Well, do y'all have any other final thoughts that you want to throw out there for this before we wrap it up? So Ian and I have kind of given some of our thoughts about what we think is to come. Ladies, what do y'all think about, what do you expect? What are you hoping for?
Well, I think I said in the last episode that I love the history aspect of it. And so that's on my mind. So I'm thinking, one of the postcards that I got was about, kind of the New Mexico, what I assume to be the kind of the New Mexico area where it's talking about hidden Inca treasure and that kind of thing. And so I'm wondering, man, if we open up that, are we going to be like the conquistadors going on their hunts for treasure? And is there going to be the ability to do that? Or there's also been hints about people moving out west, even in just the history stuff we've been reading as far
just
as the story. Just the basic
that,
cards
yeah.
have been mentioning that. So I'm wondering, oh man, is there going to be some benefit for the first person to make a straight line from east to west? Mm. Or is there going to be something when we get to Florida, when we get to California, when we get to California, is there going to be a way to look for gold? Is there going to be some difficulty getting over the Rocky Mountains? I'm very interested in that.
Oh, dude, you're right.
Because that is coming. And that was a big thing in U.S. history. Yeah. It's how do we blast through the Rocky Mountains? So I'm very curious about some of those historical aspects.
I'm excited.
Because Ticket to Ride does such a good job of playing to the history and the culture it. And so I know that they're going to do that for every single area that we open.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
That is
we
really
haven't
cool.
gotten that really to any type of that further out stuff.
Yeah, I feel like we're just starting to scratch the surface of that more like intricate game work. Like we've been repeating, like up until now, it really has more or less been a typical game of Ticket to Ride. And we're starting to get more of those complicated elements introduced. And I really can't pretend like I would know how to begin to predict what's going to happen in this game. I'm really excited to see where it goes. I think the Rocky Mountains thing that Anna just mentioned is really interesting, and I think that'll be super cool. I think it's going to be interesting to see how my strategy changes, because I have kind of the one way that I play Ticket to Ride. I have kind of the things that I do, the methods that I take, and I feel like it really killed me in the last two games of Like, I tend to wait until I've finished all my tickets before I draw up for more tickets. And in this game, you really can't do that because all the good tickets get gone and there's only a certain amount. And then you get left with everybody else's like cast off, so, like the really hard to reach places. Like, it's not like a typical game of Ticket to Ride. So I don't have so much predictions of where the story is going to go, but I am excited to see where it goes and how my strategy is going to change depending on the different elements that come in.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, I think the one caveat to like that slow start is that it felt slow start, like the second game. That's my one, I guess, kind of, I love this so far. But the one thing I was like, man, if all this would have happened in game two, like, and I know Pandemic Legacy, trying not spoiling that game, but I know after the first game, like the game turns on its head very quickly. Mm-hmm. This did not feel like that. It's been a little bit of a slower change. And I think it's good. But as somebody who's played another Legacy game, I was expecting a lot more changes really quick, and it didn't happen. But so far, I think the changes have been progressing each and every game, and it seems like it's ramping a lot faster towards this part. So far, I know it's been good. I did wish after that first game, I was like, this is all we're opening? That's it? So, but we've opened a lot since then, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and I think I'm excited for the different themes, even just in the open range that we've seen with adding the robber and things like that.
Yeah.
Each section is going to have its own thing where it's going to have that Ticket to Ride feel of you're in this region, so we're giving you this extra rule.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm excited to see how that just
They're definitely hammering that home. It's been
It's the bread and butter, man.
Always.
How Ticket to Ride works.
So
I agree with Ian though that it did, because it ramped slowly when we played the second game and even a little bit of the third game, we were kind of like, okay, is this just gonna be the same thing? But it seems like it's ramping up and it's gonna be different. Another thing I felt at the start that it was lacking is usually when you're dealt out different companies, there's different company specific roles, and we all got a bonus, but it was all the exact same bonus basically. And so I'm curious, and I know, again, we talked about the Ticket to Ride is a very accessible game, and it would be less accessible if you had these varied roles that had to vary the way that you play.
Right. But and I'm keeping that in mind as I move forward.
Right.
Keeping that as in mind. Cause even with like another Legacy game, Pandemic, it's like you do it adds a lot, but it's still like stuff that you've kind of seen before if you played a lot of Pandemic. So and I think that's more going to be more of the same here. It's like, it's just gonna be stuff that you've seen, or it's not like overly crazy stuff that it's adding. I would like to see I would like to see each person get a special ability
By the midway point.
Yeah, like your company does something different. I think that'd be kind of cool, but we'll see if we see it or not.
And they're easing into it with letting you pick a different employee each time because the employees have special abilities. And so maybe that's the way they're getting around that. But it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, if you stuck around for this part, thank you so much. It is always a humbling and grateful experience to know that people are listening.
And we warned you.
We did warn you.
We warned
you. This is on you. 100%.
We warned you.
So we did the full wrap up and the main episode for this week.
Yep.
Looking forward to Sky Team next week with Anna. And, I think that's all we got for now. So we look forward to seeing y'all again when, we do Sky Team with Anna and I, and I can't wait to finish up this game at some point, hopefully soon.
Yeah. And
keep it fresh.
Tell us how you feel about it. Don't spoil anything to us though, please. No spoilers.
That's right.
Past game four, but, tell us how you feel. Because I'm curious of how, when everybody feels about this, what the overall consensus will be, especially for gamers.
Yeah, because I feel like it's going to be a very different experience than what Pandemic was.
Yeah.
And I'm curious how gamers and gateway gamers alike feel about it.
Yeah.
Great.
Perfect way to end it right there.
That's right.
Love it.
It'll be great. Till next time.
Till next time.
Thank you.